The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. It is Tuesday, March 24th. We have expanded. We have moved through the space-time continuum via the Marvel Race. My name is Will Brinson. I'm the host. We are going to be doing some AFC free agency grades. Make sure and download, subscribe, rate, and review. And you can probably watch it on demand, or you'll see little video clips of it. We did a 12-2 mock draft special, but we will be doing throughout the week, all week long, 8 p.m. Eastern to 9 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports HQ, our 24/7 streaming free sports network that you can watch on your CBS Sports app on your phone, tablet, computer. You watch it on .com on your computer, Roku, Amazon Fire, wherever you get your CBS Sports app, you can watch us. The Pick Six podcast crew will be live 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern. If you like the show, you know, like if you even kind of like the show, throw us a bone and come check it out. It's a fun, entertaining hour that will distract you from all the things that are happening in the real world. We hope football can be that distraction for you. If you have any questions about a team's offseason, leave a 5-star review. We will answer those questions. We have a bunch of mailbag stuff we will get to. Tomorrow, NFC free agency grades with Jonathan Jones. Today, the AFC with a good friend of the program and new host, host of a fantastic new radio show on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. I don't know the hours, but I've been on it twice. Jason, what's up, buddy?
What's going on? 2 to 6, and I'm around if you guys want me to jump on the pod. I guess they can sync up my camera like they do for everything else.
Oh, like on the
I do for HQ.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, dude, where am I going? What am I doing? We're pretty much on lockdown in Baltimore.
That's what I'm saying. People are like, hey, do you have some time? It's like, all I have is time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm around if you guys want to grab me, just text me.
I will let you know. I'm not in charge of it. I'm not in charge of anything outside of.
I'm not trying to Bogart my way in. I'm just saying I'm around.
We'll kick Sean off and bring you on. Upgrade in multiple departments.
See, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're already locked, if you've already got all the people you need, then I'm not looking to stir the pot. This isn't a Pete Prisco JJ thing. I'm just here to help.
The two guys who actually I was texting with Pete. And I was like, Debo will like this too. I hadn't told him. I was texting with Pete and I was like, and it was like, it's him and Casas and Jamie Eisenberg on this. It should be called Hellscape. It should be the name of the thread to be on the thread with these guys. Cause it's like when you're teasing your younger brother, like it's just prodding the bear all day long. But I was like, we're doing, two pods on Monday. Cause I thought we had JJ later today. I was like, I'm talking to all the stars of CBS about free agency grades. And he was like, who? I was like, the best talent we've got. And he was like, I'm not doing that. I was like, oh, no, it's JJ and JLC. Don't worry about it. he's like,
I don't want to do it. I don't have time. I'm busy.
It was funny.
I can picture it.
Yeah, he thought I was like asking him to do the podcast, and then all of a sudden I wasn't. I don't know what else I was going to point out, but let's get to the free agency grades. Oh yeah, I know the corona. They closed all the parks and playgrounds in Raleigh on Sunday, but they're leaving the Greenway open. I don't know if you guys like. Does every city have a Greenway? We have like this long, open nature trail that runs through like basically you can go from like downtown up to Wake like 10 miles north of the city. It's fantastic. You can ride bikes on it. And they're leaving that open, which is pretty huge. I don't know if, like, can you limit what people do at, like, private establishments?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess probably. I mean, I was able to go out for about 90 minutes on, Saturday and Sunday and hit balls to the boys and pitch to them and stuff. And there were people milling about some of the, you know, green areas we have here. They haven't closed them yet. I was still able to walk the dog, but who knows what's coming next, man.
I know.
This is this shelter is crazy. Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, do what you got. Yeah, I mean, got to slow down the spread. Hopefully, we flip the curve and all of that. But this is an NFL podcast, not a Corona podcast. And
yeah,
despite my lengthy stint in college, I am not a doctor. So let's get to the free agency grades. New England Patriots, and we have 16 teams to do, so we need to move more quickly than I am. The Patriots, let's see, I'm trying to think of their notable losses. Jamie Collins, Kyle Van Noy.
Jeez, have they lost anybody? I don't know.
I think that's probably it, right? Landon Roberts.
I feel like they've pretty much status quo in New England, right? Is anything, I mean,
am I forgetting
am I missing something?
Oh, right. Tom Brady. They lost Tom Brady, too.
They got the McCourty twins, though.
And Joe Tooney. They kept Joe Tooney.
Yeah, who they'll eventually. I mean, how would they not trade him at this point? Like, what do they need with the highest paid guard in football?
Do you think they'll actually trade him? Do you still think they'll trade him?
Why not?
Well, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not.
No. I mean, I would. I mean, seriously, like, what's the point of having a guard on a franchise tag? Like, unless they're going to really pay him, and I have a hard time thinking that you start your rebuild by having him. You know what I mean? Kick-ass guards. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So I want to hit pause on that. And like, because the Patriots are a tough team to grade. And I don't think you just said rebuild. Are they rebuilding? Are they landscaping? I don't know what they're doing because I think the widespread presumption was that they would just reload with Cam or Jameis or Andy Dalton or the Bill Belichick.
I think they're playing the long game now. I mean, everything I heard last week was they were not in on any of these quarterbacks. They were going to be meticulous about this. There was going to be no immediate reaction. There was going to be no knee jerk. They were not going to throw a bunch of money at that position. Now, if a Cam in particular, if he gets released and the bottom totally falls out on the market, then if that's an extreme value for them and there's not that many suitors, that could happen, but that's not what they're banking on right now. I mean, they like the kid they drafted last year. They brought Hoyer in, and I think they'll draft someone this year. And they'll try to go with a model in all likelihood that is paying everybody but the quarterback for a little while. I do think, again, like if they get Jameis 1 year, $7 million, you know what I mean? If you can get Cam 1 year, you know what I mean? $15 million plus incentives, you know, that might wet their whistle. Especially because there'd be, you know, a comp pick attached on the other side if you do develop him. But that's not the way they're, you know, that's not what they're banking on.
Okay, I want to stick with this idea of the quarterbacks for a second, just because we talk to you once a week, and this is a good checkup on it. We didn't talk last week, but you get the point. Like the Jameis Winston thing, you mentioned 1 year for $7 million. I mean, how it is insane to think that a former Heisman Trophy winning first overall pick who led the league in passing last year and is in his physical prime this guy's not getting a sniff from teams, Jason. What is happening?
Well, I mean, look, the market is depressed. Tom Brady got Nick Foles' contract plus incentives. That's all he got.
He got less than Ryan
Tannehill? Nick Foles' contract. Huh?
He got less than Tannehill. I mean, if he gets the incentives, he gets Tannehill.
Yeah. I mean, Philip Rivers got half of Foles, and honestly, a lot of GMs are kind of adamant that so Brady's down to L.A. and Tampa. If the Colts, and Frank Reich wouldn't do this because of his relationship with the player, but if you wanted to be cold-hearted about it, if they offered Rivers 1 year, $14 million, I mean, his options would have been take it or retire. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where else was he going? Yeah. He's not going back to the Chargers. You know what I mean? He's not the Raiders' cup of tea, and they got all these other – like, where is he going? Like, I guess maybe New England, but, like, they wouldn't pay him any more than that. You know, they would be waiting there to see if the market completely crashed. So, I mean, all these, like, again, Cam, because of the injuries, I don't know what that contract looks like. I mean, there's just been this confluence of events, the market being flooded, five quarterbacks about to go in the first round. You've got injury situations with some of these guys. You've got the impact of the coronavirus, right?
Yeah.
You don't know if there's going to be an off-season program. How are you going to get when and how are you going to get this guy in your building? For how long? If he doesn't already speak your language. And look, in some of these cases, Teddy Bridgewater does speak Joe Brady's language. You know what I mean? Like some of these you can connect. Like Philip Rivers does speak Frank Reich's language. But like Cam to the Raiders or Cam to the Patriots? Like, how are you going to teach him? What, are you going to do it all over FaceTime? And even what are the regulations on that going to be? What if it's a three-week training camp and, boom, here comes week one? Like, this guy's got to become the leader of your football team. How much can you pay him knowing you're going to be at a disadvantage? Continuity is going to be king. And I don't think people are talking about it nearly enough. Like, if I'm in the NFC East right now and I'm an Eagles fan, I'm feeling pretty good. The other three teams all are going to have chaos whenever this thing starts. It's not going to be anything close to normal. Philadelphia, plug and play a couple defensive players, but Schwartz's defense isn't changing, and Darius Slay already knows it. I mean, that's going to be critical. There's a reason they give the new head coaches a couple week bump on everybody else and getting people in the building.
You know, so
that's not going to be the case.
We should do, and not on this podcast, obviously, but I tried to do this a few years ago, and I think it's going to be more applicable now, but I think coming out of the new CBA, I was trying to figure out a way to build out, based on the rosters in the NFL, a metric that would give you continuity rankings. Because I think it matters every year in the NFL anyway, especially with offensive lines and quarterbacks and coaching schemes, but now that the programs have been reduced even further with a newer CBA and with the corona situation, like, so if you were building out, and I'm going to write this down as we sort of, and again, we're derailing the free agency podcast. I don't care. This is kind of important. If you were building up metrics, like what would be your first things that you would build for a continuity metric? Like quarterback, obviously, right? Quarterback and coach, right? I mean, those would be
quarterback, head coach,
30%,
coordinators. I mean, all that matters. So, I mean, bringing it back to these guys, if I'm Jameis Winston, I'm either trying to get like to New Orleans or Pittsburgh or something like that now for whatever I can get, or I've just got to be willing to wait this thing out and see if, you know, if the inevitable happens, which sucks, but it's reality that there is a Teddy, not to that extreme, you know what I mean? But there's going to
somebody's
going to lose their quarterback over the summer. There's going to be a freak injury, or some guy's going to be out throwing with his kids and he's going to, you know what I mean? He's going to tear his ACL, or somebody's in camp. You know, whenever we start camp, some guys are going to be more ready than others, sure, and somebody's going to get hurt. But there's all these factors that are, and many of them unprecedented, that are working to suppress the market. Mm-hmm. I mean, you tell me, you know what I mean? Like, what are the Bengals just going to cut Andy Dalton? Like, how much? They're not paying him $19 million. You know what I mean? Like,
but back to the Patriots, I think that Bill Belichick, and he's like, the dude studied economics in college. I mean, that's what his degree is in.
Yes.
He's an economist at heart, and I think he's looking at the market and the suppressed market. He's like, I'm not paying Jameis, and I'm going to wait until the Panthers cut Cam, which they're going to do. I'm not going to trade for Andy Dalton. I'm going to let the Bengals, because when the Bengals draft Joe Burrow, they have to cut Andy Dalton. Like, if you get to the draft and you bring Burrow in, you can't keep Andy Dalton around because of the optics, and B, like, you're not going to make Burrow deal with that. Like, you're going to have to let Andy Dalton go. And once you do that, once you get Cam, Jameis, and Andy Dalton in an open market, Bill Belichick can basically reverse, like, engineer the deal he wants to get from one of those guys. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry. So knowing all that, knowing that Tom Brady has left, and by the way, I thought it was sneaky hilarious that the Patriots, in the middle of the Tom Brady hysteria with the Buccaneers and like all the buzz, they signed Damir Bird. Like, we're going to sign the biggest no-name receiver possible. To add as like they announced it in the middle of it. I don't know why I find that so hilarious. But they lose a bunch of guys, and a bunch of them went to places where Bill Belichick's former assistants are coaching. They were overpaid in free agency, one could argue. They kept Tooney. They may trade him. So sort of leave that, you know, simmering. They add Bo Allen, Damir Bird, Adrian Phillips, the McCourty brothers. They lose Tom Brady. If you had to give the Patriots a grade for their free agency work, and they bring back Matthew Slater, of course, what would you give them right now?
I mean,
I'm
going to give them an exemption.
Okay.
Because they just had 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, they just had a 20-year dynasty finally end. Like, that's never going to be pretty. And the key for them is going to be 2021 and how quickly they're repositioned. And if you're a Patriots fan and you're not willing to give them 15 months to sort through this, then you're an idiot. So, you know, like, it was going to end. And when it ended, it was probably going to be a little bit of a bloodletting and not just Tom Brady. And that's what this is. So
let's say,
what is the point? You know what I mean? Like, should they be going crazy to keep a Jamie Collins for another couple years? Probably not. You know, Kyle Van Noy, when you know the market's going to speak, and you look at how Patriots free agents. I mean, look what Nate Solder got. You know what I mean? Look what Collins got after the trade from the Browns. You know what I mean? Look at what people were throwing out there for Hightower. Look at what Flowers just got. Look what Trent Brown just got. Like, them going crazy to keep Kyle Van Noy when they're always picking up situational pass rushers who then sometimes become every down guys like Van Noy. Like, does that really make sense? You know what I mean? They had Rob Ninkovich in that role before. So, no, for their model, it doesn't make sense to pay to keep that player.
All right, so let me ask you this. If you got a hold of Bill Belichick's, like, you're at the owner's – this is bad. The owner's meetings have been postponed. But let's say, hypothetically, you grab Bill Belichick's drink, and you're able to pour a vial of truth serum in there. It's non-drowsy, but just some truth serum. And you get him – you pull him aside, and you get him at the table out in the nice little courtyard or whatever fancy hotel they're at, and he is willing to tell you anything. And you get to ask him, how many wins do you think you'll have next year? What would his answer be?
Right now, I don't think he knows. This is obviously going to be a pivotal draft for them, one in which should they lose a pick for Deflategate, or not defer, Spygate 2.0, and I had heard all along they were going to, will probably sting all the more. But I think it's about 2021. He's going to sit there, too, and look at that compensatory pick equation and say, let's just let him go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, there's a new comp.
Load up for next year's draft. I mean, so that's the other thing about, like, trading for a guy on an existing contract or you know, taking on an unrestricted free agent like Jameis. I mean, if this is not our year, then, okay, if Cam's cut and we sign Cam on a one-year deal and we don't bring him back, you know, or we could franchise him a year later to trade him, that makes sense. But them signing Jameis right now, that's going to start to offset some of what they could get for Van Noy and Collins and Brady. I mean, they're sitting there saying, and next year's a year where – for the first time, it's like, I don't know if the Ravens will have a single one. And it's usually them and the Ravens, you know, coming out at the top more years than not on these comp picks. Because this year, Baltimore is signing a bunch of guys, and they don't have a bumper crop of free agents. Judon would have been the big one. You know, Pierce, look, maybe they get something for Pierce, but they signed Brockers. They signed Calais Campbell. They franchised Judon. So I don't know, you know. But I could see New England wanting to be at the head of the class on that in 2021. Whether they use those picks to package and move up, or whether they're, look, we got eight holes on our roster, let's find some starters.
I'll plead Sean Wagner McGuff ignorance here. I hadn't read the compensatory draft part of the CBA. Is there some significant change here that Bill Belichick might be eyeing?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
No.
All right. So it's same sort of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, so you're going to give the Patriots an E or an I? An E?
Yeah, I give them an exempt. Like, they don't have to take this exam. You know what I mean? Like, when this thing ends, they get a year off. They can do independent study for a year, right? They can go off and do their own projects, do some holistic learning, figure themselves out, and you know, come back and take an exam in 2021.
So they're like
go study abroad for a year.
This is where I can humble brag that I got a bunch of college credit via AP courses in high school.
That worked out well for me too.
Yeah, I didn't. Then I was like, I don't need to study hard in college. I got AP credit. But it backfired poorly on me. But the point being is that, like, you get to college and you already have credit for it. So we're giving the Patriots AP credit for their work the last 20 years. They don't even have to take the class.
They're exempt.
Okay. All right. One more thing on New England, though. So I think so much is going to be made in 2020 of how the Patriots do versus how the Buccaneers do. And you seem to think that Bill Belichick, too worried about the end game, too worried about the bigger chess match, the bigger war, to be concerned about the superficial battle that doesn't actually exist between.
I mean, look, do I think there's a part of him that wants to win more games than Tom Brady? Absolutely, but I don't. At what cost? I don't think they're going to be close.
Okay, all right. I think
Tampa can compete for its division, and I think New England is on to 2021.
All right, that's fascinating. That is not an approach that I had fastened in my brain. The Miami Dolphins are not, I don't know what the Dolphins are doing, but they are
they're like the 2017 Patriots. I mean, not with all those wins, but just the roster.
Yeah. They signed Eric Flowers and Byron Jones, who are not former Patriots, but they added Kyle Van Noy, Alandon Roberts, and Ted Karras. They also added Emmanuel Ogba and Shaq Lawson as pass rushers. Frankly, they have the two highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL now. They have a very good secondary. They have an interesting front seven. And you kind of think that if they get any competent offensive play, that are the Dolphins good? Do we like what the Dolphins did? Are they March winners who turn out to be January losers, or is this something?
To me, they're incomplete, because if they don't come out of this with Tua, then that's going to determine my grade. They made all these moves to get one of the top quarterbacks. You know, okay. one of the guys who to get a quarterback who people believe is worthy of the first overall pick in 2020. And in this case, there's two quarterbacks who fit that mold. If they don't get one of those two, and there's a little bit more projection involved, not that there's not projection into it also, but you saw Tua week in, week out, pretty much slay the best teams in college football whenever healthy. You can't say that about Jordan Love. You cannot say that about Justin Herbert. So if they get one of those two, then they will have completed their plan and their vision. They will have executed. Again, it doesn't guarantee anything, but I can't grade them until I know who their quarterback is, and their quarterback ain't Ryan Fitzpatrick. Okay. I mean, he'll be around, but you know what I'm saying.
So, all right, let's say they get I will give the Dolphins a I'm gonna give a B minus, and the reason why is that that's a complimentary grade. I'm not out here. I'm not like softy Pete Prisco slinging A's. Pete back in the day, by the way, like 2013, used to bomb F's at dudes, and now he's like A minus. He's gotten soft in his old age.
Yeah.
I give the Dolphins a B minus because I can see, as I sort of envision their roster and what they're doing, I can see the plan. However, I am a little concerned that their plan involves spending a lot of money in free agency. As you mentioned, they don't have a quarterback yet, so we don't know the answer there, and that's why they're getting the minus tag. And I also have a little bit of questions about the economic responsibility here of going out and paying a lot of money for former Patriots, because that's exactly what...
Yeah, I don't love that strategy. Yeah. They had to spend money because they haven't really the last few years, and there's the cash spend over, you know, depending on where we are in the CBA, either every 3 years or every 4 years, you have to spend 90% of the cap. And they tore, you know, they really tore it down. So part of this is just like, hey, sure, you know, we got to spend something. You know, we got to field a roster. And Stephen Ross isn't sweating if some of these contracts don't turn out to be what he hoped they would be. He gets it. This is, again, the playing for the long view. But some of them have to work. You know what I mean? Like Eric Flowers isn't young. Like, you need to get isn't old. You need to get 3 years of production out of him. And he needs to be, you know. He needs to play the way he did in Washington last year after the position switch, and maybe he will. You know, Byron Jones needs to make plays. He needs to impact the game. Some will say he slipped a little bit last year. I still think he's a hell of a football player with a lot of scheme versatility. Then again, you know, they didn't make the best of Minkah Fitzpatrick's scheme versatility. So, you know, and ability to toggle between positions. But, yeah, I mean, look, they're familiar with a lot of these players. Detroit's pretty much doing the same thing right now. I think Miami's in a far better position than Detroit. They got to get a quarterback, though. I mean, and it's got to be, you know, they got to get Tua.
Yeah. So in our mock draft special that aired on Monday from 12 to 2, I played the role of the Dolphins. Like, thanks a lot. Give the non-draft guy, like give the guy with the team of three picks. I mean, who's in charge of this bleach?
Right.
I ask that every day about lots of different things, but that's it. We don't need to dive into that. The Dolphins, I got Tua, Josh Jones at 18 because I wanted to get a lineman and the top four guys were gone. And then Xavier McKinney at 26. Let's plug those three guys into the hypothetical, as a hypothetical haul from that first round of the draft.
Yeah.
What would your grade be for the Dolphins if they got those three guys?
I think a B plus.
Okay, I agree. I would go from B minus to B plus if they got those guys. The Buffalo Bills will not be selecting a player in the first round of the 2020 NFL draft unless they trade up, because the Bills went out and traded for Stephon Diggs. Much like the former, we talk about the Dolphins signing ex-Patriots. Well, the Bills and the Giants, I mean, we get it. You guys worked in Carolina. We get it. You don't have to sign every player from the Panthers or who used to be on the Panthers. But the Bills tried. They also added Vernon Butler, Josh Norman, and Mario Addison. They lose They picked up Quentin Jefferson as well. Zach Klein. They lose Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips, and then re-signed Quentin Spain and Jordan Poyer. Two-part question for you on the Bills. Do you think they're the favorites, or one, do you think they're the favorites in the division? And two, what's your grade for the Bills?
They are the favorites. I think they have the best football team on paper in that division. I mean, they made a lot of moves at receiver last year to meet Diggs, and they gave up a lot for him, but this is a referendum on their quarterback. The quarterback's got no excuses now. He needs to, he needs to, there was about a six week span last year where he really seemed to be coming into his own, and then things got a little shaky in the playoffs, obviously. But he needs to prove who he is. He needs to prove that he's worthy of, the kind of crazy money that will be attached to an extension if he's, if he looks like he's worthy of an extension. There's no excuses. I think getting Diggs shows that they feel like they've got a real window this year to do something special, and you are mortgaging your future a little bit. They know Norman well. I think that'll end up being a really nice signing for them. McDermott absolutely knows what he's doing in the secondary, and Bean had Norman in Carolina. I don't think there'll be a lot of BS with him. I think he'll have certain responsibilities, and they'll cater to his strength and let him play some zone and gamble on the ball when it's appropriate by down and distance and scoreboard. They've got three guys they better extend, though. You know, Tre'Davious White, that's got to happen. They got a safety and a left tackle who they probably need to take care of, too. I'll be really interested to see what happens there. They need to secure at least two of those guys, I think, before next season starts. And I know they want to, and they probably will. Look, go big or go home. They're at a point in their rebuild where it was time to do something like Diggs, even if you had to overpay a little bit. I'll give them a B+. I like the aggressiveness. They see opportunity and they're going after it. But they do need to secure a couple more critical core pieces for the long haul.
That's the same grade I would give. I would probably go A minus. I would have gone A minus if they could have gotten Diggs for the DeAndre Hopkins price. But I mean, we don't all live in that world. We'll get to that in a minute. But I think especially if you do the calculus on the draft. You look at it and you say, all right, there's no way we're going to have to trade up from 22 to get one of, Ruggs, CeeDee Lamb, or Jerry Jeudy. They're probably not going to fall to us at 22. And, as good as those guys might be, best case, maybe there's Stephon Diggs. So why not go out and get a young guy, again, in his prime on a contract?
Yeah, and the contract, I mean, Minnesota's swallowed the nut. I mean, it's basically 13 a year. I mean, could you give him some incentives to sweeten the pot to make him happy? Yeah. Do I worry a little bit? Like, if you thought Cousins was erratic, hold your beer. I do wonder about that element a little bit, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's like you're not – like you just went to like a worse Minnesota. Like, what do you not like about Minnesota? Because it's indoors. You got one of the most.
Well, I think a lot of it was Zimmer, and a lot of guys on offense were had issues with Zimmer because they feel like they're not allowed to flex their muscles because whoever the coordinator du jour is and the offensive coordinator seemingly lasts 6 months there before the coach runs them out, that they can't really do their thing because, you know what I mean? Zimmer is always looking over their shoulder. They know in their heart that if they don't run the ball enough, it's bad for their job security. And I just think the whole climate there is kind of goofy. So, I think Diggs saw the big picture there and was like, we just went out and we spent this, we got this quarterback. We paid Thielen. You paid me. You kept, you kept Rudolph and drafted a tight end. But this guy just wants to play rugby anyway.
Yeah. And like you hear that buzz coming from multiple, there are horror stories from coordinators, and it'll be curious to see Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. You can always see Zimmer's fingerprints on, so what's your B plus, for the Bills? What about the Jets? What have the, what do you get?
I thought they'd address pass rush, wouldn't you? It's been a problem there since like the New York Sock Exchange. It seems like a sock exchange, whatever. Gastineau.
The Jets focus on offensive line too. George Fant, Connor McGovern, Greg Graham, Van Roten.
Which calculated. I mean, I get it. And you're trying to protect Sam. And you're not going to address all their needs in one day. But I mean, maybe they're fixated on, pass rush in the draft.
or wide receiver.
And I wouldn't. I mean, Fowler. I think Atlanta went a little crazy with him. Things tend to get a little crazy with pass rush, but and I know Greg Williams can do more with less on defense, but that to me is their primary need. You know what I mean? And they have more cap space and more cash than they know what to do with. And maybe they still end up with Clowney. You know, we'll see. I think he goes back to Seattle, but maybe they, you know, maybe they get in on that. Wide receiver draft, you know, so they'll address that somewhere because that's obviously a need too, especially if, you know, Robbie Anderson doesn't come back. If they get Anderson to come back with his tail between his legs, that would be interesting. But
what do you think?
I don't know. C? I mean,
yeah, I would give it. I would say C plus because I think that. I would say C plus because I think what they've done is the opposite of what Mike Maccagnan did, which is to spend stupid money on terrible deals. And they're trying to bolster the offense. And that's really important in 2020. If, Joe Douglas presumably wants Adam Gase to succeed, you need the offense to be a lot better and you need that Gase to do that.
Look at that roster. At some point, you need a blue chip player besides your safety.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And maybe they'll draft their backsides off, but.
Hey,
I think if you're sitting there with all their money and all their cap space and you know, and I get it, it's calculated. You're throwing a lot of darts at your O-line. It's a problem. You got a lot of holes there. But if they come out of this entire offseason without an impact player through free agency or trade, and there's, you know, and then with the trade market being that robust, I just don't see a lot of blue chip talent on that roster.
No, I'm with you. Let me ask you about Jadeveon Clowney and Robbie Anderson. Clowney, I at least get with the injuries and the lack of physicals, and you know you can't check him out if you're his own team. But for like that guy to not have a market, it's crazy. Robbie Anderson too. Why hasn't the market materialized for those two players?
Well, Clowney's demands were out of line with what people were getting, and I think his agent missed the boat on the first wave, and a lot of teams who now would probably be willing to give him where he's at. Don't have that anymore, you know what I mean? Because they went out and they did the, you know, the Jason Pierre-Pauls or the Fowlers, you know, or the, you know, the trade for Calais Campbell or whatever. So that's the other part. Like a lot of, you know, these guys are dealing with we talk cap. They deal with a cash budget. When that money's gone, it's gone. And I reported on this before free agency started, and a lot of people poo-pooed it. But if this virus was truly a pandemic, which we know now it is, a lot of these owners, if there's uncertain times, man, like they're going to keep their money in their pocket. So to go back to an owner and say, wow, we could get Clowney, you know, 2 years, you know, whatever, $38 million. Yeah, well, that's real money. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
How many sacks is he going to get us? Well, he's really going to set the edge and he'll be, you know, calculated pass rusher. So,
yeah.
And Robbie Anderson, look, nobody wanted to give them a four for Robbie Anderson before, you know, at the deadline. So that was telling. Like, he's had some serious character issues going back to college.
Yeah.
And to put this kind of money in that guy's hand. I mean, and think about the aggressive franchises who sniffed around on him at the deadline and weren't willing to give up more than, like, dude, Mohamed Sanu went for a two. You know what I mean? Like, the teams were saying, five or six. Like, the Saints, they're willing to take some risks. You know, the Eagles, they're willing to take some risks. Like, they didn't get this guy.
That's a good point.
You know?
No, it's a very good point.
So if he's smart, he goes somewhere with a good quarterback and does a one-year deal and tries to, you know, stay out of trouble and maybe, you know, be in better position a year from now. But, maybe going back to the Jets ends up making some sense.
And it doesn't help him either that the draft is loaded with wide receivers. All right, we got to take a break, but when we come back, it's the off season, which means the Browns have won again. What will their grade be? We'll tell you after this quick break.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts,
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's
the
butterfly effect for
real. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Cleveland spent big in the offseason. Once again, they're winners. A new, you know, new GM, new coach. I mean, it's just Matthew McConaughey smashing a beer can over and over again. Time is a flat circle. The Browns fire somebody. They hire a new coach. They hire a GM. They do stuff in the offseason. I call them a winner. They lose a bunch of games. They added Jack Conklin. They spent big on him. They spent big, huge on Austin Hooper, $44 million, for him. And of course, by the way, you can go back and listen to all of our free agency podcasts. I know, you know, we talk news and everything, but these are evergreen and we have a ton of content that you should check out. Case Keenum, Andrew Sudejo. They lose Joe Schubert to the Jaguars. Christian Kirksey they cut as well. They retain Kareem Hunt. What would be your grade be for the Cleveland Browns, GLC?
C plus. I like the Conklin move. They had to do something there. And they're obviously going to try to draft a left tackle. Austin Hooper to me is just a guy. He'll catch what you throw to him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's not dynamic. He's not going to high point balls. He's not a matchup guy. He's not going to run past anybody. And he was the best tight end available, but and it's a bad tight end draft, but I just, that guy, $20 million guaranteed, that's a steep price to pay. Too rich for my blood. You know, they had some young linebackers step up last year. That better be the case, because they have been gutted of some serious experience and leadership at that position. It's hard for me to vouch for a Browns offseason until it actually works.
Okay, that's fair enough. I don't want to be suckered in. I like the moves they made, but again, like, you're spending big in free agency, so it is difficult for me to justify a great grade. The Baltimore Ravens, you host a radio show from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time in Baltimore on 105.7 The Fan. What's the name? Is it just – are they Insiders? Is that right?
Oh, Inside Access. Yeah, Inside Access on 105.7.
I have a vague idea of what you're doing. Like, that's
– Yeah,
that's,
yeah, yeah.
That's more than I can say for my family, the Ravens. Do you have like friends which you don't, you know what they do, but you don't really know what they do? I have a lot of like.
Yeah.
Like one of my best
consulting, like, people who say they're in consulting.
Well, like I, like one of my best friends, works for an engine company in like a factory. And, I know what he does, but like, I know like who he works for and what the company does, but I don't know what he does. I know he has a team and, but I don't really know. Maybe that makes me a bad person, or I'm selfish. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like Debo. I don't know what Debo does all day, and we talk all the time. The Ravens added Calais Campbell and Michael Brockers, and they lose Hayden Hurst, Michael Pierce, Marshall Yondo, who retired. They also brought back Matthew Judon on the franchise tag, Jimmy Smith hanging out there as a quarterback with an injury history. What grade would you give for the Baltimore Ravens?
I give him an A.
Might be low.
Calais Campbell for a 5 for 2 more, yep. And all they have to get is 2 more years out of him. The Brockers deal is basically, you know, 21 for 2. And then they're out of those guys when they have to start paying Lamar and Hollywood Brown and, you know, the Orlando Brown and, I mean, Mark Andrews. Keeping Judon was imperative. The defensive line got ran over in the playoff game against Tennessee, and it had difficulty against better run teams, and they couldn't get any pass rush unless Wink Martindale brought the house or schemed it up or got tricky. Calais Campbell is going to be able to move all over the place, could play, you know, they're going to play a lot more 4-3 than I think you're accustomed to, And I think you'll see a package where you got Calais Campbell as one end, you've got Judon with his hand down as one end, and you got Brockers and Williams in the middle. That's a hell of a lot better than anything they've had around there for a while. And even if they're in a base 3-4, and again, I think they're going to be in nickel quite a bit because teams are going to test them that way. You know, Brandon Williams probably goes back down to the nose, which is where he should really be. We know Campbell could play left defensive end. He could also play D-tackle. Same thing with Brockers, and Brockers could even play the nose sometimes. I like it. The secondary is loaded. They might be able to bring Brandon Carr or Jimmy Smith back on the cheap if their market's a little bit soft. Hayden Hurst only – Hayden Hurst went 16 picks behind Nuke.
Yeah.
Like, they got a second-round pick for Hayden Hurst, their third-best tight end who never had a road to a second contract there and who hasn't produced through 2 years and came into the league with a serious foot injury that
he's old. He's really old.
In his first training camp, and he played minor league baseball, so he's old. That's a steal. Now they've got two twos, two threes, two fours. They need a wide receiver, but they're loaded for bear, and there'll be wide receivers taken in the 30s and 40s who most years would have been in the top 25. But because of the nature of this class, only, you know, three, maybe four go day one, and there's going to be a bunch of other guys who teams just wait for. I think the true run on receivers will start day two, and these guys are incredibly positioned for it. They're well run. They'll probably still bring Pernell McPhee back on the cheap when they clear a little bit more cap space. And who knows? I mean, a guy like Clay Matthews or Cam Wake might not be out of the question also, you know, depending how long they're on the market and as we get closer to the draft, what they think they can do. But I think they've knocked it out of the park.
Yep. We talk about continuity. Man, you cannot say enough, and we're going to move on to the next team, but you can't say enough for how important it was to make sure that Eric DaCosta did not leave and take another job somewhere else, and that when Ozzie Newsome retired, DaCosta takes over, and you have this seamless transition with Newsom still helping out. By the way, shout out Hayden Hurst. Went to the prestigious Bowles School in Jacksonville, Florida. My mother, an alum of the Bowles School.
Huh?
Couldn't get in. To the Bengals! I don't know if I'm bashing.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, it's definitely true. The Bengals are expected to take Joe Burrow, so let's put that into the equation when we talk about Cincinnati, obviously. But they added DJ Reader, a very nice pickup. To your line, McKenzie Alexander, a great cornerback. And then for some friggin' reason, they gave Trey Waynes $42 million.
Yeah. That's the one. I mean, they gave Trey Waynes Marcus Peters money. That's the one where I'm like, you know, and I would have liked it a whole lot more if they were able to get one of those linebackers. I thought the Kwiatkowski kid out of Chicago would have been a great fit, and they were in it, but you don't get any, you know, you don't get consolation prizes in free agency. I still have questions about their defense. I give them two different grades. Grade one, just based on what's happened to this point, maybe C-minus, D-plus.
Yeah, I was going to say D-plus.
Even DJ Reader, like, he's not going to give you a pass rush. Now, if he unlocks Geno Atkins, okay. But if you factor in Williams at left tackle, if you factor in they're basically getting two first-round picks this year, and if Williams is who you drafted him to be and Burrow is Burrow, then I think you have a chance to have an A.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, you told me this team won 9 games. I believe you.
No, I think they could be, if they draft well this year, I think they could be the second best team in that division. I don't think that's out of the question at all. Now, it'll be because of the offense. I still have issues on the defense, but, I mean, Joe Mixon, pretty damn good. You know, A.J. Green, if he stays remotely healthy, and now you've got a left tackle, they'll still sign another offensive lineman at some point and draft another one. Boyd has really shown you can depend on him. If Ross is even up for half the games as a decoy, that's a problem for other teams. Just he unlocks things just by being on the field. Zach Taylor in his second year, I think some things will click there. I think the offense could be a problem. The defense, we'll see if there's something they're able to do along the way in the draft or free agency. But regardless, it's not like they were getting blown out all the time. I mean, they played, 6 weeks with Lindley as their quarterback? There's nowhere to go but up.
Finley,
I mean.
Ryan Lindley, also a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a nice Freudian slip there to insult my man, Ryan Finley. I agree with you. Like, I think you – because I always try and do this in the offseason is to sort of – like take a picture of a team's roster in my head and say, all right, if this breaks this way and this breaks this way, you know, what is the ceiling? What is, I like to go down the worst path and the best path. And I think the best path for the Bengals is like legitimately, I believe this, the Bengals best path is a wild card berth. And everything has to break right. You know, John Ross has to be healthy. Jonah Williams has to be healthy. You know, these guys that have not typically performed at a high level for Cincinnati early on in their careers have to break out in their free agent. You know, Trey Waynes has to be a great signing, all that. I mean, if the line stinks and Green isn't healthy and AJ Green isn't healthy, he won't play and Burrow struggles, it's a 3-4 win team, but
yeah, it could be a feast or famine, but even if they just are sort of who they look like on paper after the draft, I think they're a 6-win team. You know, I think tripling their win total is not out of the question. Yeah, and if they make a few more gains, or if Burrow looks, you know, if Burrow is really special and they stay healthy on offense, I don't think 8 or 9 wins is completely out of the question. I don't.
Six wins would not be a terrible year for the Bengals. 6 wins would be a terrible win for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are coming into a – I don't even know how to describe the state of the Steelers, but you know, they lose Javon Hargrave. That's a sneaky tough loss. Artie Burns for high pick that they lose. Ramon Foster out. Nick Vinette, who they traded, but they add Eric Ebron on a second wave classic Steelers deal. They brought in, they now have, if this were Monopoly, they would just be a JJ Watt short of throw up hotels on Watt.
A year from now, who knows? A year from now, maybe he is a.
Maybe so. Maybe they have all 3 Watts here. Maybe you call Bill O'Brien and you offer Mason Rudolph for J.J. Watt and a 2027 first-round pick. And he says yes. Who knows?
You never know. Stephon, yeah, I don't think he'll still be there. If he's still there, that'll be the upset of the year.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien or J.J. Watt?
A year from now?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Bill O'Brien.
We'll give the Texans a second. I have a feeling I know what your grade will be for them. What do you give the Steelers?
F+. We could make that one fast. You know what? The Steelers are always hard up against the cap. They always have a lot of star power. It's always a struggle. I'm going to give them a B because they were able to keep Bud Dupree, which was their, you know, ultimate goal. They got Vance McDonald to take a haircut to stay, which gave them enough money to bring in Ebron as well. Tight end has been a position of incredible need for them, you know, seemingly since Heath Miller retired. It all is going to come down to Big Ben, and I am a Big Ben skeptic at this point. But if we're grading them on what they've been able to do here to try to keep the band together for one more run with Ben, they've accomplished it. I still don't know that it'll be enough.
Okay. I agree. I mean, I think it's like you can't grade the Steelers offseason and let, like, the whatever grade you give the Steelers is irrelevant because it all comes down to Big Ben and whether or not he can play a full season. And if he does, then they're probably a playoff contender. And if he doesn't.
Well, I mean, playing a full season is one thing, but like.
If he's good for a full season.
Yeah.
And like, who, I mean, look, he's come back from Tommy John surgery, basically. Who the hell knows how it's going to work out?
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite that, but it's just, he's also 38 years old, and I thought he was starting to hit the wall already.
Yeah.
And he's an old 38. I mean, it's.
Is it not?
He's taking a lot of hits.
Was it not Tommy John surgery?
No. He had an elbow surgery, but it wasn't Tommy John.
Okay. So,
if it was Tommy John, it probably would have been.
Lights out, because Terry Bradshaw's career was ended by Tommy John too.
So yeah, what is I mean, like, it wasn't an ulnar replacement surgery. It was if it was an ulnar replacement surgery, he'd be in trouble.
Okay, all
this was a ligament thing, but it wasn't. They didn't have to replace the ulnar. He had elbow surgery, but it wasn't Tommy John.
The Carolina Panthers signed PJ Walker, XFL player.
Hey.
As we're recording, so Teddy Bridgewater, PJ Walker. 4 wins and a cloud of dust. We mentioned the Houston Texans.
I mean, do we really need to belabor the point? I just wrote another column on Monday hammering them.
Blast them for 30 seconds and we'll move on.
I mean, they're getting worse on paper despite spending more money, and they still have about $58 million in yearly commitment to the quarterback and the left tackle to get around to at some point.
Yeah. How do you it's pretty hard to botch Deshaun Watson's interest in staying with your team, especially when he's the only guy in the past 24 months who's come out and publicly said Bill O'Brien's awesome. Like he's literally, he's on Bill O'Brien Island by himself. And, And then you trade away DeAndre Hopkins, and his agent, Sean Watson's agent, is tweeting out like, huh? I can't believe you gave him a plus for the F. I would just give him an F minus. Cause not only did you acquire David Johnson, but you took on his whole salary. You paid Randall Cobb more than Randall Cobb should be paid.
Randall Cobb got more money than Emmanuel Sanders. Just think about that.
I mean, like, you can't run a football team like this without the checks and balances, unless you're Bill Belichick or even Andy Reid has, like, even Andy Reid has actual general managers. It's crazy. Let's move on to the Colts. We did a minute more on the Texans than we should have. We thrashed the Texans all offseason. Everybody knows they have a terrible offseason. They win 10 games. It's in our face, but it's not sustainable what they're doing. The Colts signed Phillip Rivers to, as you pointed out, probably an overmarket deal, but they got cash to burn. They burn a lot of it on DeForest Buckner, who they gave up a first-round pick for, a young, still ascending player, Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber player, who they gave up 13th overall. That's a high pick. And then they gave him $21 million a year. They lose Eric Ebron, Pierre Desir, Josh Andrews. They brought back Anthony Costanzo, who was debating retirement. How do you grade out the Colts offseason?
I don't mind what they lost. Keeping the left tackle was huge. I'm a big DeForest Buckner guy. I think he's better than the 13th player in this draft.
Yes.
I thought he was the San Francisco 49ers, you know, most years, probably their best player that he was there. And if you want to say Bosa was one this year, he's clearly in their top three. And I think, I don't know how you pick Armstead over Buckner. To me, maybe I'm missing something. So no, I don't mind that at all. I'm interested to see, do they do something at wide receiver here? I mean, I know it's a great wide receiver draft. Do they do something on the edge here? I can understand you saying Buckner's presence is going to help a lot of people. And they have drafted well, and that's where Chris Ballard's always going to make his bones. I think Phillip Rivers is a scary proposition at this point. And again, I wish that was 1 year, 15 or something like that. Copper in the house. But I'll give him a B. I think only having to give up a one for Buckner. Okay, dude, do you want to go check it out? Come on. Here. Go find out who dropped whatever hit the ground. Oh, yeah, go get him. So I'll give him a B. I'm interested to see what they do with Brissett, if there's any way to get anything for him. I don't think there is, with him being owed $15.8 million or whatever it is. But Rivers, I mean, you know, Rivers and Reich, we'll see. I don't know how much he has in the tank, and I think Brissett got a – I won't say he got a raw deal because he got paid, but
– yeah, he got jobs.
He was in a real bad position, you know, down the stretch last year when T.Y. Hilton's basically out, and you know what I mean? And Ebron's kind of pulling – whatever. Ebron's making it clear he's not happy, and then he's gone. But they got a good offensive line. They can run with Marlon Mack. You know, if Rivers – I think Reich can probably tell Rivers – some stuff that maybe guys weren't telling him last year. Stop pushing the ball in the triple cover. You know what I mean? Like, no, so we'll see.
I think
give him a B.
The grade for the Colts wholly depends on how much you think Rivers has left in the tank. If it's a quarter tank, then it's an A. And if you think it's empty, then it's probably a B at best. The Titans. We're going to move very quickly through these because I told you that if we were still on this call at a certain time, that you could slap me in the face and hang up, and we're not moving quickly enough. So
yeah.
Titans, they bring back Ryan Tannehill on a big deal. They tag Derrick Henry. They add Vic Beasley, but they also lose Jack Conklin, Marcus Mariota. They cut Deion Lewis. They inexplicably traded Jarrell Casey and Delanie Walker, gone as well. Give me a Titans grade.
D plus, C minus.
Okay.
The Tannehill money looks silly at this point.
Yeah.
It looks a little steep.
They also
Jarrell Casey for a 7 and a cash dump because you overpaid your quarterback. And I thought they should have kept Tannehill. But if they're giving Tannehill that money, then I'm tagging the right tackle. In it for right now, I'm letting Derrick Henry see what it's like out there. He can always come back. But I'm tagging the right tackle and trying to keep that together. I don't think there's a whole lot of room at the end there for them to do much else either. So
I think John Robinson, and I think he's done an exceptional job as an executive over the last few years. I think he may have misread the free agent market in terms of financial, gambling financially. Like, I think
yes.
I think he could have.
If you tag the right tackle
and
let the other two see what's out there for him, you're probably, you know, you're, and you have a security blanket unlike anything ever before. Like, okay, if somebody else gives Tannehill more than $30 million a year, then Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, you know what I mean? Whoever, come on down. Like, somebody can mine the inn and still keep us afloat in that division that I think isn't going to be, you know, a bunch of world beaters.
Yeah. I agree.
And we're okay. You know what I mean? We could win. They go 9-7 every year. We could get Andy Dalton or Cam Newton and win 9 or 10 games and be right where we'd be, you know what I mean, without a $100 million commitment. And I'm a Tannehill guy, and I think he earned it. But they were a team that I think really got burned by what rules are we going to have? What rules aren't we going to have? Oh, let's move the CBA vote again. Oh, let's move it again. Oh, let's move the tag deadlines now. And I think they tagged the wrong guy. And the reciprocal impact of that could be massive.
Yep. If the offensive line doesn't perform up to snuff and Derrick Henry is, you know, dealing with the weight of a bunch of carries and Ryan Tannehill didn't the top rated passer, all of a sudden this is a house of cards. So, speaking of.
Because the defense wasn't special at all before this.
Yeah, and now no Casey. Jaguars. I agree. I'm with you 100% on the Titans, and I like the Titans, and I like the players. I just think and I like John Robinson a ton, but I just think they may have screwed up. The Jaguars may still have Yannick Ngakoue by the time you listen to this. We think
he should already be gone. That's part of the reason that it's an F. I when we were talking about cash budgets and owners being a little bit risk averse in this climate. Short term.
Yep.
Why isn't he already gone? Who are you kidding? Why wasn't he gone before Calais Campbell?
Why are you not putting Yannick up for auction?
Why isn't he already in Tampa and the money they gave, you know, Pierre Paul, who's whatever, 5 years older than, why isn't that money already gone to Ngakoue?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean,
why are you slow playing Ngakoue deal? Like, why you had people all over him before the league year started and you're talking, I don't know, I might not want to trade him.
We saw the haul that teams got last year for Frank Clark and Dee Ford. You see the haul that DeForest Buckner brought.
And you saw how it worked out for Bill O'Brien, who waited, right? How'd that work out for him with Clowney?
I mean,
his owner ended up paying half the freight.
Get a first or a second or get something for Yannick Ngakoue. You tag and trade him, add more draft picks, or at least, I mean, let him walk and get a compensatory pick. I mean,
why are you signing a linebacker for $22 million the next 2 years? And they don't need the cash spend. Nobody spent more money the last 4 years with zilch in return for it than the Jags. So you don't need to, you know what I mean? Like Joe Schobert, why? You're just going to want, he's going to be a guy you want to trade at the deadline 18 months from now. Like, who are you kidding?
He's the defensive version of Toby Gerhardt. Like, what are we doing? Like, and I don't mean that as an insult to Toby Gerhardt or Joe Schobert, who's a better player. Joe Schobert's a better player, but it's like, what, you think a linebacker is going to solve this crap? Like, this
linebacker?
I give him a D though, instead of an F
because they
found some fool.
Yeah, but that's on them for signing Foles in the first place. Because who liked that in real time? That was crazy talk. $50 million guaranteed for him.
We ripped it apart.
Just give them their F.
Yeah, all right,
give them their F.
F Jaguars. F Raiders. They signed Marcus Mariota, which is a little spicy for this podcast because of the Derek Carr situation. They also brought in Eli Apple, Nelson Aguilar, Jason Witten. Corey Littleton, Carl Nassib, Malik Collins, some interesting defensive players, fairly quiet. They lose Carl Joseph, quiet little all season for Oakland or Las Vegas, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give them a C+, B-. We'll say B minus. They're filling a lot of short term holes. I feel like these contracts haven't been crazy. I generally like the structure that Mayock's using, putting some big bonuses a little bit down the road. I'm just waiting to see what else they do at quarterback. Do they draft one and then is that the end of Carr? Do they if Cam Newton is on the street, you know what I mean, by the end of the week, do they take a flyer on him? Do they stay in the teens and maybe take two receivers?
Your ceiling is a little bit capped with just Carr and Mariota, so I would agree with that. Let's see. I think Mike Mayock's done a pretty good job, though, with at least.
I still don't know. I mean, they still need – I mean, look, the pass rush has been a massive issue since they traded Mac. I look at what – they've done a lot of moves. I don't think they've addressed that much. You know, do they try to move up for a pass rusher? Is there a pass rusher they love there? Could they get – they're, you know, a starting pass rusher and their number one receiver by staying where they are and putting that around Carr and hitting pause on the inevitable quarterback change for another year. And you know, their draft, because that's when they can, you know, they jettisoned, you know, Cooper and Mack for a reason, right? It was to load up on picks. Some of them were for last year's draft, but really it was for this year's draft. So that's another one where incomplete probably makes the most sense. Kind of like the Dolphins, right? They and the Dolphins were kind of the poster boys for tanking or whatever you want to call it. Their grade will ultimately be determined by what cheap labor they get in this draft.
Yep, I'm with you. If they come out with a pass rusher and a wide receiver, and all of a sudden I feel a lot better about what the Raiders are
cooking. Yeah.
The Chargers, they lose Phillip Rivers. They lose Melvin Gordon to the Broncos. They lose Derek Watt. Thomas Davis leaves for the Redskins, duh. And I just said duh, it's 2020, whatever. Chris Harris, they bring in there. Brian Bulaga, Trey Turner they trade for in the Russell Okung swap. And Joseph, who they signed, they also tagged Hunter Henry and re-signed to a very nice deal. The only running back contract in the last 20 or 10 years that I think is actually good, Austin Eckler. What grade do you give the Chargers?
I mean, look, part of me wants to – I always seem to like the Chargers on paper. And part of me is inclined to lean that way, but they also had a chance to get the GOAT. And, look, maybe he just decided at the end of the day he wanted to be on the East Coast. But they did miss out on Tom Brady, so that's got to factor in somewhere.
Sure.
They made the cold, hard, calculated decision on Rivers they had to make. I'm not buying Tyrod Taylor, though, opening that stadium, and they probably will draft a quarterback now, or they could still. You know what I mean? That's another team. Man, if Cam Newton's out there, and I don't have to give him anything to get him, then let's go. I mean, keeping Henry was a must.
I like everything they
did. I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting. The secondary, if they could stay remotely healthy, the secondary should be right up there with Baltimore for the nastiest in the league. You know, Bulaga's an upgrade at right tackle. I think it was time to move on for Russell Okung. Trey Turner's legit. We're all assuming, I guess, if they're drafting a quarterback, then they're also drafting a left tackle along the way.
If they had signed Tom Brady, I kind of feel myself wanting to give them a B. If they had signed Tom Brady or if they brought him in – you're giving, like, if they have Tom Brady on this and they made the same moves but had Brady as well, we'd be slamming.
And then they just use the seventh pick or whatever on a left tackle, and you're like, damn.
Yeah. They would be getting major Super Bowl buzz. I agree. I like the moves. I just don't buy the idea of Tyrod Taylor, even though he's Anthony Lynn's guy. The Denver Broncos. Hey, John Elway, have yourself an offseason. Actually, I don't mind the trades he made, getting A.J. Brown.
Right. I don't either.
You see? But the Melvin Gordon signing is curious at best, and losing
ridiculous.
Chris Harris
wanted out. They should have traded him, dude. They had teams all over them, two straight trade deadlines, and their asking price was ridiculous.
I mean, what? Just get a second round pick for Chris Harris. Like, it's better than what you're going to get in the compensatory formula.
Or a third, whatever. It's a real time third. I mean, they could have gotten thirds. But 2 years ago, they could have really. Two trade deadlines ago, they could have really marketed him, and they were hanging up on people, basically. Dude, I'm never paying a Lions offensive lineman. I'm sorry. Like, if the Lions had Glasgow, and he seems pretty serviceable, and they always have offensive line issues, and he hits the market, I'm not there to catch his fall.
And
Melvin Gordon makes no sense to me whatsoever.
C minus.
I'll give him a C minus because of the trades.
Yeah, exactly. I like the two trades. I like that you brought back Justin Simmons on the franchise tag. I hate what you did with Melvin Gordon and Graham Glasgow. Like, why are you overpaying over market to make this questionable rushing offense more questionable? All right, I agree with you there.
If I'm Philip Lindsay, I'm like, get me the bleep out of here, man. You know what I mean? Like, well, okay, what else do I have to do? Like, okay.
Yeah, like, didn't you see what happened when the Chargers took their dynamic, multifaceted running back and sat him behind Melvin Gordon? Like, it didn't work out very well. The Chiefs, last team, they retained Chris Jones on the franchise tag. Did they re-sign Damian Williams? Did they quietly do that? He was on a contract extension before. And then they lose Kendall Fuller, Emmanuel Ogba. Of course, LeSean McCoy makes his way in this rundown because Debo is, that's his, favorite player of all time. Fun fact.
I mean, keeping Chris Jones was huge. That was going to preclude them from doing a whole lot else. Obviously, the elephant in the room is the Mahomes deal and what that looks like. And you just got to eat it on that one.
Yeah.
But no, this is not one of those Super Bowl teams where you're like, oh my God, they lost. You know what I mean? They lost six key starters, and what do they do? So no, they're well positioned. I mean, I give them a B+ just for being able to stand pat for the most part. We'll see about Chris Jones though. I mean, if he has to play out another year on a 1-year deal, he's not going to be real happy about that. So I'm interested to see the end game and how the numbers all work with him and you know, and Mahomes, and at some point do they try to trade Watkins to get some relief there? You know, although who's going to touch that contract? So I still, part of me thinks there has to be another domino or two to fall there once they sort out, you know, these big ticket items. But for right now, they've done their job.
I'm with you. And it is easy to give somebody a good grade following a Super Bowl win. Yeah. Like it's like, they won the Super Bowl. They're playing with house money. But like you do feel like you look at the Chiefs and it's like, you know, repeating as Super Bowl champions is really, 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 really hard to do. But like, if you told me the Chiefs did it, I wouldn't bat an eye. I think with Mahomes in play, regardless of whether he's on a rookie deal or an expensive contract, I think I've mentioned this a ton, but Andy Reid to me is going to be Phil Mickelson with majors. I think Andy Reid, once he gets that, he got that first one, finally got off his back. I think he could rip off two or three more, in the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
All right, JLC, I kept you forever. You are the man as always. Now I have to come on your radio show basically at your beck and call because.
Well, we've already abused you twice. So
I don't mind. I doing radio is a pain in the ass a lot of times, but it's when it's with people, you know, or people that are entertaining, which you guys are. I don't mind coming on. I'll come on anytime.
So. Well, thank you very much. I'm sure, as this crisis goes on, we will tap you.
The one beef I have, and this is not something you guys have done. You're actually good about it. Like, and you should tell, I cannot stand when radio producers call you 90 seconds before you, like, hey, we got 2 minutes left in break. It's like,
I know.
I don't want to hear your ads. You know, I don't want to hear your ads.
Like,
it's 2 minutes of
I don't live in your city. I don't have an endorsement deal with, you know, whoever, Progress Lawn and Ornamental Care. So why do I need to hear it? Yeah, no, I love Progress Lawn and Ornamental Care. And if you're in the Baltimore area, they should take care of your lawn like they take care of mine. But, Will, that's got nothing to do with you.
Right. And look, if somebody is paying me for a radio hit, I'll sit there and listen to whatever the hell you want me to. But
that's a different story.
Yeah, if I'm coming on your show for free, do not call me.
Yeah, yeah.
And be like, hey, we'll be back in 2.5 minutes. It's like, no, you can call me back in 2.5 minutes. I'm sitting right here. JLC, check him out on 105.7 The Fan, Inside Access, 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I think you were in Twitch with a bunch of Tony Kornheiser fans. You can listen to JLC on the Tony Kornheiser podcast. I don't promote other podcasts usually, but these are desperate times. People need content, so check him out there. Follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockefour, and of course, watch him on CBS Sports HQ. Thanks as always, buddy.
You got it, buddy. Have a good one. Hang in there, dude.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.